Oh my gosh.
You're late.
Yeah, and he's always on time.
It's unbelievable.
I'm always on time this time.
I know, it's unbelievable.
He's busy riding in Ferguson, whatever the place is. Okay, page 990. Last time we learned, we got in the middle of the pasuk of Ati Som Hashem Alakecha Shel Mimach. Now, Yidden, what does Hashem want from you? The only thing he wants is that you should fear God. So we discussed at great length last week. So the Gemara asks the question, is fear such an easy thing that God says, all I'm asking is you to fear him? So the Gemara says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's easy. Right? That's what so we discussed that every Jew has a Moshe Rabbeinu within them. And for that level of godliness, it is easy. All you have to do is obviously reveal it. Okay? Okay, so now, some Mefarshim answer a little bit different. Okay, that's according to Chassidus, that the explanation is that every Jew has a Moshe Rabbeinu within them, and for that Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the essence of the Neshama, it's very easy for a Jew to fear God. But he says, the answer like this, when the Jews were near Moshe, it was easy. Not because every Jew has a Moshe Rabbeinu in them. It means because, and that's what it says, V'ati Yisrael, now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now, Yidden, what does God want for you? What is he saying now? No. So they say, the Kol Yorker explains, because now means when Moshe Rabbeinu was around them. But later on, what the pasuk is going to continue to see, your children that don't know God and don't listen to God, for them it's not easy to fear God. According to Chassidus, every Jew, it's easy for them to fear God. Okay?
I have a question.
We didn't even start yet.
Oh, I know, but this is the best question. I've had this question my whole life, but okay.
Okay, just wait a while. Let's just get into it a little bit. Okay. So the pasuk says like this. Vati Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Hashem Mimach. What does Hashem want? Kim Yiras Hashem Elokecha, only to fear God. L'orechas b'chol drachav, to go in all his ways. Olava Yisrael, to love him. V'lavad is Hashem Elokecha, to serve God. B'chol levav, b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and soul. What does it mean, serving God? The Torah always uses the word eved, meaning it has to be in a way of subservience. It has to be in a way of subjugation, that you're subjugated to the person. And like we said, something you enjoy is not aveda. If you enjoy it and you do it, it's not aveda. Eved, by definition, a slave means you do things you don't like to do. That's the definition of when you say somebody's a slave. If you enjoy doing it, you're not a slave. If you enjoy cooking and you cook all day, you're not a slave. If you hate cooking and you cook, you're a slave. So the Torah says, V'lavid is Hashem Lekechu, because like we discussed many, many times, in order to reach the infinite God, the person has to break their nature and serve God with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, and then the pasuk continues. Lishmer es mitzvah Hashem es chukaisav, to keep to guard the mitzvahs of Hashem. To keep the mitzvahs of Hashem, v'schukesev in the statutes asher anechi mitzavcha hayim, that I'm commanding you today, l'tev loch, for your benefit. Okay? In other words, I'm not asking you to keep them for no reason, for no benefit, no gain. Hashem says it's going to be l'tev loch. You're going to get rewarded. And the reward is two things. Number one, the world to come, l'atzulav gan eden. And a more important thing, by the way, the Tev Loch means a person that lives a proper Jewish lifestyle and a Jewish commitment has a good life, because then the life has meaning, it's a constructive living, it's not hoo-ha, that after a while you say, it's so empty and void, what type of life am I leading? I have nothing in my life. But the Torah is saying, L'tev lach will be good for you, not only in the world to come. L'tev lach will be good for you even in this world. But it's all for the sake of your benefit. As we discussed many times, Hashem doesn't need our mitzvahs. It's for our benefit, to make us better people, so Hashem gives us mitzvahs. Because Hashem is perfect whether we do a mitzvah or we don't do his mitzvahs. It's totally irrelevant. Hashem wants us to do mitzvahs for our benefit. And that's what the pasuk is saying. You have to guard the mitzvahs, protect them. What do you mean guarding mitzvahs? It doesn't only mean keeping mitzvahs. Guarding means that it's important to you, it's something precious to you that you watch. Something precious you guard. Mitzvahs have to be precious. In other words, rather than an attitude of let me see how I can get out of doing mitzvahs, what the Torah is basically teaching us, you should go out of your way to see how you can do more mitzvahs, not get out of it. And that's when something is precious and you guard it, that's the word lishmer that the Torah is using. To guard the mitzvahs, to enjoy the mitzvahs, and chukais of his statutes, which again, even the mitzvahs we understand, the Torah says we don't keep them because we understand, we keep them because Hashem said to keep them. And therefore, even when logic dictates, like we said not long ago, even when logic dictates that you shouldn't keep the mitzvah, we keep it anyway. Because God said to do it, and that's what made, that's important.
9-8.
Hein Lashem Elokecha, behold, to Hashem your God, Hashemayim Ushmei Hashemayim, is the heavens and everything in the heavens, Ha'aretz, the earth, V'chol HaShaba, and everything which is in them. So may not say like this. Even though Hashem is the master owner of the universe, okay? And by the way, Shemayim doesn't only mean the physical heavens and the physical earth. Shemayim means spirituality, all the spiritual worlds, besides the heavens, the physical seven heavens that exist, that the Gemara talks about. It refers not only to the physical heavens, but Shemayim refers to spiritual realms, infinite worlds of spirituality. And even that, and here's a very remarkable statement that Torah is saying. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya, we mentioned this mashal. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya says that when a person does a mitzvah, what relationship do they have with Hashem? So he gives an analogy of a very great king that's loved by everybody. And he has a very big nation, multi-million people in the nation, millions of people in the nation. And God decides, this king decides one night to spend the evening with you. From all the millions of people in the world, in this country, he picked you. So you can imagine the joy of the individual that not only did he pick me, he picked me out of all the million people of the world. So he says that's the relationship a Jew has with Hashem every time you do one mitzvah. You do a mitzvah, it causes a unity between you and Hashem, such a unity that Hashem, like he's basically saying over here also, he's leaving everything of the spiritual realms, everything of the physical realms, and he's coming down and uniting himself specifically only with you. So he said, and that's what the pasuk, the way Rashi learns it. God owns the heaven and everything in the heaven, everything in the earth. Yet, brak means yet, Hashem chose your forefathers and their children, Mikolo Amim, from all nations of the world, Kayem Ezeh today. That means Hashem chose the Jews from the infinite worlds, physical worlds, spiritual worlds. Hashem left everything and he chose only to become united with the Jews. So you can imagine the joy that a Jew should have. Okay? By doing a mitzvah. And to elaborate on this a little bit, because it's fundamental. We learned it already, but it's fundamental. When you have physical achievements and physical accomplishments, yeah? So let's say in the world, you become the president or CEO of a multi-billion dollar company.
Hoppet company.
Huh?
Hoppet company.
Yeah. It's a great accomplishment. Yeah? Somebody makes $1 billion in today's world, that's a fabulous accomplishment. The truth is, that accomplishment is only a billion times one who makes $1. It's not an infinite accomplishment. It's a billion times more. It's a lot, yeah? But it's only a billion times more than what a person makes $1. When a person does a mitzvah, you're dealing with the connection with Hashem. And he says, you can picture the whole universe. Just picture the whole universe, which they keep finding more things in the universe. But the universe, any way you look at it, is limited. There's X amount of miles and X amount of... It's limited. It can be trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions, but it's still limited. Yeah? And that's only the physical worlds. Then you have the spiritual worlds. Yeah? And God is the creator of all of that. And a Jew does one mitzvah, they become partners with God in creation, which means they go from creation to creator, which is infinite. So that's not a finite accomplishment of another $1 billion, another 100 billion, trillion, whatever. It's a connection between finite and infinite, creation, creator, and that relationship, Hashem says, I picked from all these people, all the nations of the world, and all the heavens and earth and everything in it, I picked the Jews to be able to create that relationship with between me and them. And nobody else can create it. So if you just think mathematically, you do one mitzvah, you connect yourself to the infinite, God, which is, from a mathematical, logical perspective, problem is we don't feel it. But the reality is, from the mathematical perspective, we bind ourselves to the infinite rather than the finite. You do one simple, tiny mitzvah, as they say in English, one lousy mitzvah, yeah, you bind yourself to the infinite God.
In mathematics, we have 1 plus infinite equal infinite.
Because you can't add to infinite.
Because connected to...
If you add 1 to infinite, it is going then infinite. It's not infinite anymore.
Sure, why?
Because infinite, by definition, mathematically cannot be added to. Because if you add it, it's not. If you can add something to it, it's not infinite.
But in mathematician, we have that.
Okay, we're not learning math now. So he says, Hashem chose their children after them, Mikolo Amim Kayemezer, from all the nations to be his nation. What does it mean Hashem chose? Hashem chose, as we learned a while ago, when it says Hashem chose, what did he choose? You. Hashem said, I chose the Jews.
But he created the Jews.
Yeah, but he chose us to be the chosen nation.
Okay, but he created, but he's going to choose.
What did he choose?
The Jew. He created.
What does it mean he chose? Define the word he chose.
Okay. Hello. He said he created the Jews.
I know what he said. But then it says God created everybody. Created. And then he says, after I created everything, I chose the Jews. Now, what does that mean? Choosing, okay, there's the soul and the body. Correct? There's the Jewish soul and there's the Jewish body. God didn't choose the Jewish soul over the non-Jewish soul. Because free choice, choosing, free choice, was called Bechira Chofshis. Free choice, ultimate choice, is when two things are exactly the same, and you choose one over the next. If I choose gold versus dirt, and I choose gold, it's not free choice. It's not free choice. Gold is better than dirt, so I chose gold. There's a reason for it. Yeah? If there's two colors, this cup. Yeah? There's two cups. One's white and one's blue. Yeah? Blue. And I choose white over blue, it's not free choice. Because I maybe like for white over blue or blue over white. If I have two white cups next to each other, exactly the same, yeah, and I choose one over the next, it's not real free choice. Why? Because I might like right over left. Free choice means they're exactly equal, and I chose one for no reason at all. Now, Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the neshama of a Jew and the soul of a goy are different. So you can't say Hashem chose the neshama versus the neshama of a goy because they're different. You can't see free choice. What did Hashem choose? The body of a Jew that looks exactly like the body of a goy, with the exception of the nose. But today they all get nose jobs, so it doesn't matter. So if the body of the Jew and the body of a goy are exactly alike, that's when you walk in the street, you don't know who's Jewish, who's not Jewish, right? They look exactly alike. Hashem chose that this body is going to be a Jewish body, and this body is not going to be a Jewish body. So what does it mean? And therefore we find two things. We find the Jews are called children of God, and we said that is the neshama, comes like a child from the father, that we learned from the intelligence and the level of chokhman, whatever that we learned already. And the body of the Jew is what God chose. That means when we say, Ubanu Bachartam Mikol Am V'Loshin, We said right before Shema Aviday, you chose us before, among all nations. Or Yom Tov, Atav HaChatanu Mikol HaAmim. You chose it from all nations? Yeah? What does that refer to? The body of the Jew, not the soul of the Jew. This that the Torah says we're children of God, that refers to the soul of the Jew. The body of the Jew, that's a Yivcha Bechem, that's what he says. The Yivcha Bezarem Acharem, God chose their children, meaning the bodies of the Jew. Mikolo Amen from all nations, Kayyem Ezad, like this day. And this is the greatness of the body of a Jew. By the way, that's why a body of a Jew is so holy. You know, and that's why we don't own our bodies in the famous worldly controversy of today.
Rent.
You know, it's my body, I can do with it whatever I want. It's not my body, I can do. Torah says, it's not your body.
Lease.
It's God's body on lease.
Yeah,
right,
on lease.
Lease to us for 120 years. It's God's body, we're not allowed to. It's not my body to do. According to Allah, you're not allowed to hurt yourself. If a woman wants to do an abortion, she says, it's my body, I can do with it whatever I want. First of all, the kid she's killing is not her body. I mean, it's a life, it's another life. But the bottom line of it is that it's not our body. It's the body that God chose to be our body. And therefore, that aspect of it shows, again, the tremendous relationship that a Jew has with God. The soul of a Jew is the child of God. The body of the Jew, God chose from all nations, that this body I'm choosing for no reason at all, just because this is what I chose, I want this to be Jewish. And that creates a relationship with God between the finite and the infinite, that when a Jew uses the body to do a mitzvah, that relationship is created. And therefore, in Gan Eden, where there's no bodies and you can't do mitzvahs, that relationship doesn't exist.
Body is a vessel. You cannot do mitzvah without your...
But the body...
The neshama.
You can't do the mitzvah without the neshama either.
Yes, sir.
I mean, can neshama do a mitzvah without a body?
No. So...
How's the neshama going to put on tefillin, tell me?
No.
How's the neshama going to eat matzah?
You need both of them.
That's right.
So
both together. So the neshama is God's child. The body God chose. And therefore, together, when the body and the soul are together, that's why you need the body to do a mitzvah, because that relationship with God, mitzvah, which means connection and binding, that you connect to the essence of God, can only be in a body, not outside of a body.
How about the ger?
A girl?
Ger.
She also does mitzvahs.
Ger is not you Jewish. The body convert, somebody's convert. It's not Jewish.
A ger? I thought you said a girl.
A ger.
I got scared for a minute. No, a ger was always Jewish. I told you, Gershon is Gaia. The neshama was always Jewish. It got lost amongst the goyim, and it came back. It was a lost Jew that came back, basically.
From the Egyptian?
Yeah. A convert is a lost Jew. He said, from when Adam and Chava sinned, and they said thus, so then the souls got, the lot of souls got lost amongst the goyim, and these are the souls that come back.
When he converted, he converted the body.
Completely.
He was the body.
Yeah. The body becomes a Jewish body. Which before it wasn't.
The neshama is going there. The Jewish neshama.
Yeah, but it ended up in that body. That body is also becoming Jewish.
Body was Jewish before.
No.
What?
It was a guy until he converted.
Neshama is connecting to them, make it Jewish.
Yeah, but the body, I'm saying, that body, that soul that got lost and ended up in the body, that body was chosen by God to be also a Jewish body. What?
Could there be such a situation where a convert who's supposed to convert did not convert in this world would have to come back again?
Probably.
Make sure that they convert?
Yep.
Interesting. They come back as a Jew?
They might come back as a Jew. I mean, that's God's business, you know. We have enough headaches. Let him worry about it. He doesn't do anything all day anyway. Let him worry about that. give God something to keep busy with.
Huh? He needs nights to work out. You know.
Yeah, he needs to keep busy. He'll stay out of trouble.
When they make a sin, body and neshama at the same time, guilty, the same amount of guilty.
We told you the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you know, with the blind and... So you can't come along and say the soul sinned and the body didn't, the body. Both together, you get beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for your, my first time coming to this class. Well, I want you to know, the word yiryah, when you look it up in the dictionary, it's not just fear, it's awe, respect.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like...
We did that last time. Yiryah does not mean fear, it means awe.
So that's one. And two, listen, I know the Torah is at met 100%, so I'm not questioning it by any chance, but just for like when we eat, we're getting nutrition in our body. When we work, we're getting certain things. When we go to school, it's all for an accomplishment. We're doing all these mitzvahs. What is the end goal? I know we're going to Gan Eden, and we can talk about like it's worlds. We're getting
the end goal is not Gan Eden.
Huh?
The end goal is not Gan Eden. The end goal is Mashiach with Chias HaMesim. That's the end goal.
But let's say someone passes away before Mashiach comes and he's going to Gan Eden. What is he getting there? Like, what's our reward?
The reward is basking in godliness for the good things that we did. You get cleansed in Gehenna, hell.
Okay, for 12 months, for 11 months.
Well, if the biggest rush is 12 months.
Okay.
Otherwise, it depends on the level of how bad you were. How much you misbehaved, how many classes you missed, you know, things like that.
That's guilty, huh?
That's guilty.
Yeah. Guilty.
But then over there, the neshama basks in godliness, but it's only the ray of the essence. It's not the essence. Tchias HaMesim, the soul and the body, gets the essence exactly because of the reason we're explaining here. Because the body is the essence of God more than the soul is.
The body is not the soul as much.
When Tchias HaMesim, when the resurrection happens, the body will sustain the soul, not the soul, the body. Because the body comes from a deeper place of godliness than the soul does. The soul is a child of God. This comes from the essence of God that God chose us, the body. So the body is greater than the soul.
So the answer to the second question is just ray of godliness.
Ray of godliness. That we don't get in this world because our bodies and the Yetzirah and everything blocks it. Okay, now it turns to like this. Pasuk to Zayin. Umaltem es orlas levavchem. You have to circumcise the simply one. In the English, it's cut away. But umaltem is really circumcise the orla, the foreskin of your heart, covering of your heart. V'arpachem and your stiff necks. They sakshuayd, you shouldn't harden anymore. Because the Jews are known as the hearts, the amkshayd, if you know, stubborn people. But there's a very interesting thing, and we learned this in a maimed, by the way, but we didn't learn in this class. What, there's a pasuk that says, this pasuk says like this, umaltem es arlas levavchem. You should circumcise the covering, the foreskin of your heart. Another pasuk says, umal hashem elokecha es levavcha ves levav zerecha. Later on in Chumash, the Torah says, God will circumcise your heart. So who's circumcising the heart? And what expression is this, to circumcise the heart, means, as we know, a bris means you take away the foreskin. What does it mean, the foreskin of the heart? And why was one pasuk say, you got to do it, and another pasuk says, God does it. Who does it? Do we do it, or does he do it? And what is this whole concept of umaltem, the bris of the heart, so to speak. So Chassidus explains, again, this is fundamental. The ultimate goal is to serve God with all your heart and all your soul with love. Like he says, li'avas Hashem, right? To love God, to serve God, meaning love and fear, with all your heart and all your soul. Now, how is that normally done? Normally it's done by intellect-stimulating feelings. Hashem created a person in a way that the emotions are based on the intellect. If you meditate into the power of somebody, you'll fear them. You'll meditate into the kindness of somebody, you will love them. Right? So normally, intellect stimulates feelings. That's normally the way it works.
Feeling.
Sometimes it doesn't mean this.
Feeling in me.
Feeling. Yeah, love feeling. And fear, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Normally that comes, and that's why it's called Chabad Chassidus. Chabad is the intellectual approach, that through intellect you stimulate the love and the fear. But sometimes there's a blockage between the head and the heart. There's a blockage. Sometimes you meditate into something, you think about God, and the heart doesn't go. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not stimulated. So sometimes in Chassidus it explains, because between the head and the heart, physically, because everything physical is from the spiritual realms, because between the head and the heart, there's a narrow passage called the throat. That's called Ha'oref, right? I'm sure of the back of the neck. Ha'oref is a numerical value, same letters as paro. Ha'oref, hayin, hey, ayin, resh, pei, is the same letters as the word pari. Or, in Torah, the throat is called meitzad ha'goren, their narrowness of the neck, because it's narrow compared to the rest of the body, which refers to the same concept of Mitzrayim. There is a pari that doesn't allow there's a blockage. From the head to the heart, they got to go through the neck, okay? Sometimes you get a blockage. You need to go Roto-Rooter, or any other plumber that you like. The smell good plumber, this plumber, that plumber, I don't care. But you need a plumber to unblock this blockage. Otherwise, from the intellect, it comes into the heart. If it doesn't come, there's a blockage. Or, sometimes we know, the pasuk says, you have a stone heart. Lev ha'evin. The pasuk says, Hashem says, I will remove the stone heart. You know, sometimes you have in English, you have a person has a heart of stone. What do you mean heart of stone? Stone is something that doesn't penetrate. You pour water on a rock, okay, it just runs off. It doesn't penetrate it, it bounces off. Sometimes the heart has this covering that's called the Orlas Alev, okay? Umaltem es Orlas Levavchem, the foreskin of the heart means there's a covering, a blockage that doesn't allow your intellect to stimulate the feelings of the person that they should really start getting enthusiastic and excited about Yiddishkeit, Torah, Mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. So there's two avedas. There's two things that need to be done. God says, you need to work on it, and then I also work on it. There's the circumcision that God says, we do, and this pasuk says, Umaltem es Orlas Levavchem, you need to circumcise the Orl of your heart, meaning you need to get rid of that blockage. You need to get rid of that blockage. And then God says, when you do your share, I will give you from above. God says, I will circumcise your heart, meaning I'll do surgery on you, so to speak, and I'll make, now that I see that you're trying to remove the blockage, but sometimes, you know, if you need a big snake, sometimes a little snake to get to knock it down. So Hashem says, you do your part, then I will do my part to make it much easier for you, but you need to do it first. So first comes the Aveda, first comes the job of the Jew. Umaltem es Orlas Levavchem, we need to circumcise the heart. Now how do you circumcise the heart? I mean, like, practically speaking, what do? That's through a broken spirit. As the pasuk says, Lev nishper v'nitke, a broken spirit. A broken spirit undoes.
Which is teshuva?
No, not necessarily. I'll explain in a second what it is. The breaking of the heart, yeah, the breaking of it undoes the blockage. Why? What is the blockage? The block is the lack of subjugating themselves to God. Evil, darkness looks very, very powerful. You know, people are afraid of the dark. Darkness is really, really powerful. But if you think about it, darkness is nothing. You bring in a tiny light, a tiny candle, a tiny bulb, 7-watt bulb, in a dark room, the room is lit up. Darkness is really nothing. All it is, as to use the expression, is a bunch of hot air. Hot air that blows itself up, denies the existence of God, denies the humility and being subjugated to do what God wants. It's a bunch of hot air. So when you have a broken heart, it breaks the ego, the lack of humility, the lack of subjugation, the lack of bittul, the lack of nullification that a Jew is supposed to have, and the evil causes it to happen. It breaks that level, and then the heart becomes revealed. There's a famous story, I'm sure everybody, most of you know it already. The Baal Shem Tov called in one of his students, Rav Vov Kitzis. He told him, "I want you to blow shofar for me on Rosh Hashanah." So Rav was, it was an honor to blow shofar for the Baal Shem Tov, you know, it was a big honor. So he went and he learned all the Kabbalistic teachings and all the Halachic teachings and all the intents of the Kavan of that Ezel. He learned it all. Yeah. But he knew he was going to forget. So he made notes. He made notes. And by shofar blowing, he was going to have the notes in front of him and he was going to blow shofar. Hashem helped. He lost the notes. Mm-hmm. He couldn't find them. Couldn't find them. You know what it is? You have to make a massive speech and you're reading the paper and you don't have it. You got a problem. He was going crazy. He couldn't find the paper. And here comes Shofar. He has to blow Shofar. The Baal Shem Tov told him to blow Shofar. And he was so broken. He was so broken by himself that he was simply crying. When he was blowing Shofar, he was crying. He was broken. So afterwards, the Baal Shem Tov called him in. Baal Shem Tov knew what happened. So the Baal Shem Tov called him in and he said, "Listen, in a mansion, there are many rooms. And each room has its own key that you get into the room. And then you have a master key. The master key opens all the doors." The Baal Shem Tov said to him, "The intent, the kavanah that you were learning are single keys. For this door, that door, this door." He said, "Your broken heart that you had blowing shofar, that was the master key to all the doors. That was more vital and better." The Baal Shem Tov probably made him lose the paper somehow, miraculously. The bottom line is, the broken heart opens more doors. It's a master key, the Baal Shem Tov told him. A broken heart is a master key that opens all doors. So this is what the Torah says, "Malta masar l'slevavchem." You need to circumcise the heart is by removing the blockage of the heart. Just like the foreskin is a covering, you need to remove it. And this starts, the Avodah starts, this begins with the Jew doing it. And then when the Jew does it, then Hashem does it.
A couple of sentences in top, they say, "V'chol levachoch nafshecha," is contradictory.
To serve God with all your heart and soul.
So, it is go first to heart, then go to the...
what do you have in Shema?
The same way that Shema, this is you have to bring going to the heart, heart going. To, this is reverse.
No. It's the proper order. Chol avavcho diyetzatev yitzahara. Chol nafshecho is even mesidus nefesh. Chol meidach with all your infinite. No, it goes in the lower to higher.
Why the intellect has to go to fuviyah? Why the intellect needs fuviyah?
No, the heart, intellect doesn't need the heart. So the intellect heart stimulates that because intellect without feelings is cold. And cold is dead. Okay. The difference between a dead person and a live person, a live person is warm, a dead person is cold, right? When you have, intel b'chal is very, you know, when somebody gets very excited, what do you say in English? I don't know, in French, I don't know. You tell them in English, cool it. What cool it mean? Put ice cubes on it. What do you mean cool it? It means calm down. How do you calm down? Take your seichel, your intellect, and calm down. Calm down. I mean, intellectually, you have to calm down. Intellect itself, Chassidus explains, there's nothing colder than a pure intellect. A pure intellectual person is very cold. And cold is death. The head needs the heart because the head itself, serving God with cold intelligence, intellect, is dead. You do mitzvahs coldly, it's dead. The life comes in the heart.
Knowing the functions of the animal soul and godly soul would help in circumcising the heart?
Yeah, we know what they are. We're just giving into the wrong one.
But sometimes it's very difficult to kind of
bend. As they say in English, life ain't easy. If Torah mitzvahs would be easy, they wouldn't be worth anything. The more difficult they are to do, the more worth they are, the more valuable they are.
As of right now, out of the 613, how many are applicable? Because we don't have to let them
to a few hundred.
A few hundred.
Yeah.
So it's even better. I mean, not better, not like that.
Better?
Not better. I mean, better. It's like it would be easier to.
Less.
Trust me, the ones we have are also hard. Yeah. The top 10, the Ten Commandments, are also very hard to keep all of them. Let's go one by one.
Those 10 are the basis of the 613.
I understand. Those 10 are also hard enough. And then Chavaku came and put all the mitzvahs onto one. Tzadik b'manasi yichya, emunah. Belief and faith in God. That's the key to all mitzvahs, he says. Okay, that's...
Let me
just...
Belief.
What?
Just one, about the word belief. There's no word in the Torah in regards to belief. It's not yodea, da'at. It doesn't say anything belief.
Emunah.
But it's to know.
The mitzvah
is not knowledge.
The ultimate mitzvah, because emunah, I don't want to get into it, we've discussed this too many times already. Faith is superficial.
Exactly.
Okay, the Hashem wants that the emunah should become internalized. That's why it says, da eselokei avich v'yadaita hayayim. But the foundation of everything is to believe. If you don't believe, then intellect doesn't mean
anything. You're telling me I'm supposed to believe the Torah as I met? Believing means not knowing, though.
No, the fundamental base is belief, and from belief you work on intellect.
I don't agree with that.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
You don't have to.
I'm just saying. But okay.
But one second. Just, we were saying before that cold, there's also a famous story. The Baal Shem Tov Siddim, we also told him, I'm here. The Baal Shem Tov Siddim were once going to the Baal Shem Tov for a holiday. And they went by foot in Russia. It was cold winter. So they walked by a river, and they saw the way the goyim were cutting a cross out of the ice. The rivers, so they were cutting this big cross out of the ice to bring to their village to hang up for their holiday, whatever it was. And the Chassidim Baal Shem Tov know that the Baal Shem Tov taught them whatever they see, hear, know about, whatever, has to be a lesson serving God. So Chassidim of the Baal Shem Tov started thinking, what in the world can we learn from the fact that goyim are cutting a cross out of the ice? Like, what can we learn from it? Well, one of them came to a fundamental realization, and he said like this: water is the source of life. Water is the, without water you can't live, right? But when is water water? When it flows, when it's warm, when there's life in it. If water becomes cold, meaning if Yiddishkeit becomes cold, it's so bad that you can even cut a cross out of it. You know, not only is it could be anti-productive. And that's why the purpose of the head and the head is to stimulate the heart, to create the feelings that the person does what they need to do with enthusiasm and excitement and love and fear and awe and respect and all that stuff. Then it's a living mitzvah. Otherwise, it's a dead Torah. You can have a dead Torah too. You want to have a living Torah, not only in the video, but you want to have a living Torah, you need to make it alive.
Was this what you just said regarding the faith part? Like, otherwise, you'd be cold. If you think about all knowledge, then you'd be cold as well.
No, as I said, you need the fundamental base of everything is belief, that every Jew believes. Maminim b'nei maminim. Okay, the Jew by nature is a believer. From there it goes to the intellect to internalize it. And from there it goes to the heart to feel it.
So it kind of contradicts the word emet. Emet is truth. Truth is 100%.
Right.
So if this Torah is emet,
that means if it's emet, it goes from belief to the intellect to the feelings. Because
So it starts from belief, but there's a point that you have to get to, which is knowledge.
Emet also starts with an aleph and then a mem and then a sof. The first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter. Emes, ani rishin, v'ani acharin. Hashem said, I'm the first, I'm the last. You have to start with the first, and then you go to the last. But emes means, from the first to the last, the whole way is the same thing. And that means, Emes is the Jew has emuna, belief. From the belief it comes into intellect, because belief begins where intellect ends. Something I understand, I don't need to believe. I understand it. So if a person's intellect, let's say, goes up to here, so emuna starts from here, right? Up. But if the intellect goes here, so then my emuna starts from there. But it goes into, from emuna, it goes into intellect, into feelings, and then from feelings, it goes into thought, speech, and action. No, then it goes into thought, speech, and action. And then you have a total Jew. That the belief is not staying inside, concealed. The faith comes out into the open in the way of practicing mitzvahs.
I thought that emotion controlled the thought. The emotion gave the thought to
it works both ways. You think about it. First of all, seichel is not thought. Seichel is not thought.
Okay, so what is thought?
Can you think stupid things? Yeah. So machshava is thinking. You could think smart things, you could think stupid things. Machshava is not seichel. Thought is not seichel. There's intellect, and then if you want to reveal that intellect to yourself, you think it. Think and speech and action is only what's called a garment to reveal those things. Thought can reveal emotions too. Thought can reveal stupid things too. Thought is not intellect. It's a mistake people make. Intellect is intellect, and thought is the vehicle that reveals the intellect to you, or the feelings to you.
So the intellect has to have a foundation.
That's emunah. That's emunah.
Emunah, and then the intellect has to have a knowledge to be able to decide.
Knowledge is a part of the intellect. That's three levels of intellect. Chochma, Bina, Das. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
Rabbi, this
but
is all...
it starts the other way. It starts knowledge, understanding, wisdom.
Starts with Chochma, Bina, Das. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
If someone doesn't... a little kid doesn't have wisdom. He starts from knowledge, then understanding...
can't start knowledge. A kid doesn't have knowledge. The Gemara says, Katan Ein Beidas. A kid doesn't have the maturity of knowledge. Knowledge is the maturity to realize the difference between good and bad. That kids don't. That's why they're not obligated to mitzvahs.
Oh, so wisdom makes... okay,
what?
Neshama is direct thought, feeling, everything.
Neshama is more than that. Neshama is a neshama. A neshama has intellect, feelings, thoughts, speech, action. But the neshama itself is more than that. Let me ask you a question. Are you a person?
Yes.
No. Oh, okay. It depends what we ask. Okay, you're a person, yeah? Okay. Are you your seichel, or you're more than your seichel? Mm-hmm. In other words, I'll rephrase the question. A parent loves a child. If they're smart, they love him more. If they're not so smart, they love him less?
Sometimes.
No.
Well, those are not parents.
They do. How do you
okay.
Quantify
but those,
love?
Those are stupid parents.
They do okay? Sometimes.
I'm saying, you love the child for their intellect, or you love the child because they're your child?
If you, your child, you get good numbers, you'll be happy?
No, you're happy with their behavior, not behavior. It's
no,
not a question. No, it's not true. Kid comes home with a D report card.
Yeah.
Big red D's. You love the kid less, you love to their behave less. You hate to their behavior.
It's affecting on your loving.
No,
it's affecting your loving.
It's not true.
Doesn't
that's
it,
not a parent.
Doesn't it depend on the upbringing of the parent too?
No.
If her mom was like that, then she probably...
so there are all abused kids. It's a messed up kids doing the whole world today. Bunch
well,
of messed up people.
On.
But
they
that's not the point. The point is, the person is not their intellect. Do you become more person the smarter you are? When you become smarter, you're more person?
No.
And before you were
no,
less
no,
person?
No,
why not?
No.
Because if you tell me intellect is the person, then you should become more person and less person. I know one thing. You eat, you become more person.
Can you explain this whole thing again? The wisdom, intellect?
Not because...
belief,
I, not, no, we,
no problem.
When you eat, you become more person.
Mm. Yeah. When you have knowledge,
you
more,
way more.
When you have knowledge, you're not getting better?
Are you more person?
What do you mean more person?
Are you more person and less person? Can we count half of you for a minion, and then when you get smarter, we count all of you for a minion? I'm asking you. Are you more person than if you know more?
What do you mean more person? What do you mean?
Does it make you a better person?
If you... what, better person?
Does knowledge make you a better person?
If, yeah. It makes
no.
It, why not?
Hitler had a lot of knowledge. Makes him a good person?
Which knowledge you're talking
about? Yeah, he's a very smart man. I promise you, he's smarter than me and you.
So this is sick, was sick. He's not knowledge.
But he's smart. There is the person has intellect, feelings, thought, speech, and action. The person themselves.
Neshama has.
And more than the neshama. The person is part of the neshama, the person is the neshama in the body. That person has both things together. The neshama, the goof, has these things. But they're more than that. You love a child for their intellect. You don't love the child for their intellect. You love them for what they are. They're your kid. That's more than intellect. When they get older, you love them more because they're smarter. When they're younger, you love them less. If anything, the smarter they get, the more you hate them.
How come teenagers, the parents, they like one of the kids better than other people?
The parents are wrong.
This normal.
It's not a good parent.
That's why,
it's not true.
It's
not true. The Gemara says you shouldn't be like Yaakov.
You shouldn't be. Yaakov also has.
Yeah, the Gemara says the problems. Yeah, the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. Somebody once came to the Rebbe. A few kids. One kid turned off. So they came to the Rebbe. They said to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, I don't understand. I raised all my kids the same way." The Rebbe said, "That's the problem. Because every kid has to be dealt with differently. But not loving more, loving less. You can't raise all the kids. Every kid's different."
What's the definition of love from the Torah standpoint?
You become one with the person you love.
Become one. If they're making mistakes, you just become one with them?
You hate the behavior, you love them.
You love who? The person?
You have kids?
Soul,
you have kids?
Of course I love them.
You have kids?
No, I don't.
Okay. Mitzvah Shem you will. Huh?
Not yet.
Mitzvah Shem you will. You will learn that you love the kids, but you hate the behavior. There's a difference between behavior and the person.
My wisdom is telling me to ask you this question. It's good. What is the real definition of love?
I just told you. We went through this 1,000 times in this class. I can't. You have to understand. I can't.
You're right. I can't come in.
I told you, love is the word ahava equals 13. Echad equals 13. You become one with the person. Okay. It says like this. So circumcise your heart. Get rid of all this stuff. Because God, you're God. And the pasuk continues. Why should you love God? Because He is the God, Hashem, your God. Who is the God of gods. And the master of all masters. The great God. The strong God. The awesome God. Upon him, he doesn't show favor. And he doesn't take bribes. In other words, you can't buy God with money. But the Mepharshim is interesting. I'm listening to an interesting thing. He says, what do you mean God doesn't take bribes? Somebody could think, if I do a lot of mitzvahs, you know, and I did two sins, so God says, look, God, look how good I am. You know, forget about the sins. It doesn't work like that. God says, I don't take bribes. You can't bribe God with money. You know, obviously, how do you bribe God? With mitzvahs. So the Mepharshim explained, you can't bribe God even with mitzvahs. You're going to do something wrong, you're going to get punished for it. That's it. Don't think you can get out of it because you're such a righteous person that when you sin every so often, you're going to get out of it. You don't get out of it, nothing. God doesn't take bribes and God... Now, it's interesting over here. You know, in davening, we say, This is the text of Shemoneh Esrei.
This is bribe.
The Gemara says, there was a story, the Gemara in Brachos tells a story, there was this rabbi standing in front of a certain Tana, and he says, he was giving all the praises of God. Okay, all the praises of Hashem. And he ran before Rabbi Chanina. And this is the Gemara in Brachos. And the guy was standing there and he was davening and he said every adjective of praise of God that he knew. And after a while, you never run out of words. You run out of the Hebrew language. So Rav Chanina was listening to him say this, the 100 name praise of God. And when he stopped, he says, and that's it? In other words, Rav Hanina said to him, when you start praising God with adjectives, you're already limiting him.
That's true.
Because eventually you're going to run out of it, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
So therefore the Gemara says, we only say what Moshe Rabbeinu said in Chumash. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say over here? Hakel, Hagodel, Hagibe, Vaneira. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what we say. Because other people, you should know, each one, Yimyo and this one, they took him, they started taking away names from Hashem.
But
Moshe Rabbeinu said, because Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, meaning, if we praise Hashem with the name that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, in those three, four names, is everything included.
How about after Shema? After we finish the Shema, we say about the God, we ask.
Those are 15 levels. It's not all the praises. We're not saying all the praises. 15, there's M is V'yatzev V'nochem. 15 is 15. Corresponds to the name of Yudkei. So that's actually what it is.
Until 15 we can say that?
No, because that's what Anshei Knesset HaGedola made. They made it divinely inspired. So that has in it everything. You know, when you say in Baruch Shema, L'shuvach
Umfayar,
you say in Shemoneh Esrei, you say in Shemoneh Esrei, M'shuvach Umfayar, Adei Ad, Shmei HaGadol. Yeah? What does that mean? Adei Ad, Shmei HaGadol. So here in the English it says, here in English it says, great is his name forever and ever. Mm. Yeah? That's in English. Mm. The Mefarshim of Siddur say, Adei Ad actually means infinite. We're telling God, we cannot finite limit your praise. We're telling God, Meshubachim for Adei Ad, infinite. We don't want to limit it by the limitation of the words that we're going to say. So in Baruch Shammah, which is the beginning of Sukkot, you know, praising Hashem, we say, Adei Ad, Shmeya, infinite. But certain things, Moshe Rabbeinu put in these three words, four, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibe, Vaneira, Moshe Rabbeinu put the whole infinite into those words. Because the Torah says them, and therefore we say it.
The same reason for 13 Midot of Hashem.
That's 13 meters.
Yeah,
no, but this is the 15 levels after Krishna. The V'yatzev Enoch and Kav Yosher. Okay, start 992. That one pasuk. Eisem Mishpat Yosef Amada. God carries out the judgment. Okay. Ba'ayev Ger, and he loves the Ger, the convert. Lasses Leilachem V'Simla, to give him bread and clothing, what they need. Okay? In other words, like this. Like Rashi says, you see the Gvur of Hashem. Okay? He does the judgment of Yosef Almana. Yet we know God has tremendous pity on the widows and orphans. So this is what Rashi quotes in the Gemara. B'makom sh'atameitze gedulasi or gvurasi, in other places, the gvura, the might of God, there you see his humility. In other words, God does the judgment of the widows and orphans in a way that he does it with chesed, with kindness. And in fact, and he gives the get lechem v'simla, and Rashi says that's what Yaakov Avinu davened in this week's parsha. V'nasin li lechem lecho uveged lobish. You should give me bread to eat and garments to dress. That's basically the necessities of a person is bread, food, and clothing. Why? Bread refers to all the internal things that we need to eat. And clothing refers to all the encompassing things that we need. So that includes the whole necessities of life. Like we've said many times, it says in the Medrash that when a neshama comes to Gan Eden, the soul's in Gan Eden, the soul also needs food and clothing. Yeah, here we need food and clothing. The soul in Gan Eden also needs food and clothing. What's the food and clothing for the soul in Gan Eden? The Torah learned in this world is the food, because Torah you digest internally, intellectually, you internalize it. So the food for the Nisham in Gan Eden is the Torah learned in this world. And the mitzvahs that he did, which are called garments external, because you don't intellectually digest it, that becomes the garments, that becomes the necessities of the person.
They put in the refrigerator, take it to
freezer.
Now, what would that this question? When you read the Shema Yisrael, I've read it my whole life. The basic, and it will be if you diligently obey my commandments, which I enjoin upon you this day to love the Lord, and then it changes to I will give rain for you.
It's not in the Shema Yisrael, it's in the Shema.
In the Shema, I'm saying yeah. In the Shema. How is this wording, like Moses is saying, do this, and then he goes, I will give you.
God yeah, but the God. Gemara says God was speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, I give grass, I give rain,
uh-huh.
It's not he doesn't give
of course,
rain.
Exactly.
It's God speaking through him. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the microphone, and God is speaking through the microphone. So that you hear from the microphone, I will give you grass. But it doesn't mean the microphone, it means God. So Moshe Rabbeinu is actually speaking.
Which Gemara is that? Where is it?
Shechina Medaberes. It's a Gemara in Brachis. It's a more Medrash. The expression itself is brought down all over Chazal, but it's not actually a Gemara. It's more of a Medrash. But the concept is from the Chazal. That everything is... So it says, so therefore you have to... Hashem loves the Ger, and therefore, okay, we'll just... Therefore you have to love the Ger.
Yes.
You have to love the convert, because Hashem says, I... And, okay, I'm going to leave this for next week. A blemish that you yourself have...
Thank you.
Don't give anybody, don't tell your friends.